You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
In the next 4 weeks, counting today, looking at what is sometimes called in church circles, the Lord's Prayer. I wouldn't say sometimes, it's often called that. Sometimes people that are really spiritual will say, well, it's Jesus' prayer. But you know, it's probably something that we know. Even if you didn't grow up in church, you probably heard it somewhere, sometime, in some way. And so we're going to spend the next few weeks looking at this prayer as Jesus talks to us about prayer and as Jesus talks to his disciples about what it means to connect with God. And I'm willing to bet that there's going to be a lot of things that you thought you knew and about prayer that I might change your mind on, or at least share my thoughts on it, and maybe you walk away saying, that's a bunch of crap, I don't care. But that's cool too. But I want to look at what God's Word has to say about it and kind of go through this. One of the things that if you do not know, rather than ask it this way, does anybody not know what this is? And I don't mean like, oh, it's metal with a thing, but does anybody... Let me put it this way. Has anyone ever had one of these on top of their TV set? Raise your hand if you did. Many of you haven't. Anyway, this is an antenna. And this is used to receive an antenna signal. Now, when I was little, when I was growing up, we didn't have cable. Now, some of the rich neighbors had cable. And if you remember, their cable had this thing. My grandparents, they had cable in their retirement house. And it was this little box you had to get, and you pulled the wire, and you pulled the wire, and you got back to your couch, and then you'd go, pop! And you'd change the channel, and then you'd go, pop! And it would change another channel. Anybody remember that? Anybody? All right, a couple of you? Wow, like, that's old school cable. Well, we didn't have that. Now they have, like, obviously you use a remote and all that, but remote controls back in my day, like I'm all that old, but I guess I kind of am. Anyway, the remote controls were actually connected to things. If you wanted to, you know, use the VCR, you had to get the wire out. But a TV, we didn't have cable. We had one of these on top of it. And the way we use this thing is you would put it on your TV, and then you'd go up, and again, remote controls did not exist. You'd go up to the knob, and you'd turn the knob. And if you wanted to get one of your primetime networks, you'd go to, like, where I grew up, there was 3, 6, and 10. You could turn to that, and then you'd go there. Now, if you wanted to watch, like, Fox, dude, then you had to go to U. Remember that, a little U there? And that was the top knob. Then the bottom knob, you'd be like, 13, 15, keep turning. Okay, 57. And then you would get to the channel you want, and then then you're not done. Then you'd have to take this thing and point it like that. Oh, okay, wait, no, back. Okay, that's good. Good, hold right there. And they're like, oh, well, it's sideways. So you have to, like, shove something underneath it, you know, to get it to stay up. And then, like, in our house, my dad was convinced, I don't know if this is true or not, and this mic is messing me up. My dad was convinced that aluminum foil, you know, if you got a good signal here, you can kind of hang some aluminum foil on the end, you know, and you'd have, like, aluminum foil sticking. I think people nodding their heads. You can tell who's old in the room. And you'd put the aluminum foil on there, and then you might be able to, like, oh, yeah, you can kind of see the signal. And I think we had a total of, maybe we were pushing 8 to 10 TV channels that we could watch. But if this wasn't working, you didn't get nothing. There was no cable. Again, there was none of that stuff hooked up. If this didn't work, and if this got bumped, oh boy, you messed up the whole thing and got to start all over. And so without this receiver, you couldn't get a thing. Without this connection, you need to have this tool. And some of you know, today you might have a satellite dish on the side of your house. And I think I shared the story with you, so I'm not going to share it again, about how Kirk and I decided to try to get the Super Bowl on a satellite dish at the YMCA. And it took us hours. And I don't know if you've ever tried to align your dish, but you have to go with the compass degrees, north, south, minutes, and all that. And you line it up in that direction, and you point to the... And you point until you get that solid beep. And we did this for hours trying to get it, only to discover that we actually never plugged in the satellite dish. But that's another story. But the deal is, without the satellite dish, without the antenna, without the receiver, you didn't get a signal. And you needed it. There was no other opportunity. There was no other option. And the thing is, prayer is not like that. Prayer is wireless. You do not need a receiver. And here's what I'm getting at. A lot of us go into prayer. See, I almost bumped it. I almost messed up my reception. A lot of us go into prayer thinking, okay, I'm going to talk to God, but I don't know how to do it the right way. I don't have the right equipment. We think you need to be able to say the right words and have the right phrases and use the right fancy things. And if you can sound like Shakespeare, you know God is pleased with your prayer. If you can say thee, thine, and thou, then God is really pleased with everything that you say. And we got that idea. I'm like, oh, well, I don't know enough Bible verses to pray. Or maybe we think we can pray over and over. And I want just to understand that this is not necessary. You do not need to have special tools, special equipment. You don't need to have the right flowy words. You don't need to know the right things to say or have the right just fanciness. You don't have to be in the right place for it. Because I want you to get this idea today. And we're going to build on it over the next few weeks. And that is this, that prayer is simply communication with God. It's communication with God. That's all it is. We communicate things all the time. Some of you are communicating things right now. Some of you are communicating interest. Some of you are communicating boredom. Some of you are communicating that you spent the last 24 hours driving from Atlanta. That's what I'm communicating right now. Worn out. But we all communicate, and we use words to communicate as well. We talk to each other. And I want you to understand that when it comes to prayer, all we're doing is communicating with God. So prayer is simply communication with God. That's all it is. And we're going to unpack that here as Jesus talks about it. So if you have a Bible, if you have paper, we're going to turn the lights on so you can look at your paper Bible. The YouVersion app is a great tool, and we're going to be exploring that over this month with this wireless series, having some fun. We do have a wireless Wi-Fi network available. You can grab YouVersion with that. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 for the rest of the month. Looking at this idea. And Matthew chapter 6 is actually what is often called, again, if you grew up in church, you might have heard the Sermon on the Mount. And, you know, if you were like me, you're like, why is Jesus preaching from a pitcher's mound? What's that all about? But it was actually a mountain that he went up to the top. He had a high location. And so he spoke to these crowds. And there were large crowds gathered there. And so beginning in Matthew chapter 5, through the next few chapters, Jesus is sharing this one long sermon, this one long oration, this one long speech, going through what frankly is some of the most practical teaching that Jesus gives. Now, I'm not implying that the rest of the Bible is not practical, but Jesus kind of hits some of the basic things in the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the things that he talks about here is prayer. And so we're going to be in verse 5 through 8 looking at that. But I want to look at a few things about what prayer is. The first thing is that prayer is expected. Prayer is expected. Jesus is expecting us to communicate with Him. Jesus isn't hoping. Jesus isn't wishing. Jesus isn't suggesting. Jesus is expecting that we communicate with Him. So understand that as the foundation, that it is expected. And if you're freaking out, like, I don't know how to pray, I don't know how to do that, that's cool. We'll get to that. But I want you to understand that it's not wait till you're good at it. Wait till you can speak Englishly enough. Wait until you have the right words or enough scripture. Prayer is expected. Here's what Jesus says. Okay, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus says to everyone, when you pray. When you pray. When you pray. He doesn't say if you pray. He doesn't say when you feel like it's appropriate time to pray. He doesn't say if things are going well, then you pray. He doesn't say if things are going rough, then you pray. He says when you pray. It is expected that we are praying. It is expected that you are praying. That you are speaking to God. That you are communicating to God. And again, prayer is simply communication with God. It's not fancy. You don't need fancy equipment. You don't need fancy words. You're just simply speaking to the God that created you. And Jesus expects that. I would be willing to bet, for those of you that are married, that your spouse expects you to communicate with them. I'm going out on a limb here, but I'd be willing to bet that your spouse expects you to communicate with them. That you don't just kind of show up in the same house, do your thing, and move on. That there's some expectation that you're going to at least say, how was your day? Or hi, or I love you, or can I help you with that? Or whatever. But there is an expectation of communication. Rhymes. Expectation of communication there that if the relationship is going to work, you must be communicating. You have to be. And if you're not communicating, if you guys are just two ships passing in the night kind of a deal, you need to fix it. You need to stop the ship. Take down the sails and talk. Because communication is very important to any kind of relationship. A lack of communication will lead it to crumble. And Jesus is expecting us to communicate with Him. He says, when you pray, He's not just talking to the 12 here on this mount. He's not just talking to just a few people. He's talking to everybody. There's crowds gathering there. So don't just walk away and say, oh, Jesus was just talking to His 12 disciples and I'm not a disciple. Well, technically you are. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are. We talked about that last month. This is for everyone. He says, when you pray, this is what's expected of you. Jesus says that it's an expected thing. It's an important thing that you do. And I need you to get that, because everything else I'm going to talk about doesn't matter if you don't understand that God is expecting this of you. Jesus is expecting this of you. And if you feel a little bit of a burden with that, I think I'm cool with that. Like, oh, I mean, the God that created the universe, that created me and all that, expects me to pray to Him? Yeah. But before you, like, check out and freak out, let's look at where we go here in a second. But I want you to get that idea that it's expected. Any kind of relationship, you've got to be communicating. You've got to be communicating. You've got to be communicating. If you're not communicating, your relationship is going to crumble. And our relationship with our Father, our relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, whose love knows no end, we need to be communicating. We have to. So it's expected. The second thing I want you to get is that prayer is personal. Prayer is personal. So here's where Jesus goes on in verse 5, picking up a little bit more there. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward that they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Let's look at this for a second here. Jesus says, when you pray, He says, don't be like the hypocrites. We know, and the last 3 weeks as we're getting ready to launch Prime Groups, we've been having meetings with the Prime Group leaders. Brian's been leading some great time with the Prime Group leaders and apprentices. And one of the things we talked about was, what are people's impressions of church? Hypocrite. That is the top of the list. What do people think about when they think about church? Oh, they're a bunch of hypocrites. And hypocrite is actually a Greek word, Hippocrates, that is used to describe the actors in Greek plays. People would gather in the arenas to watch these plays. I think I've shared this with you before. And the Hippocrates were the masks that these actors would wear. So they would wear something to look like something else. So the bad guy would wear the evil, scary mask. And the good guy would wear the nice mask. And the happy guy would wear the happy mask. And the idea was that these were Hippocrates. Those were the masks that the people wore. It wasn't who they were, but it was who they were representing, who they were playing the part of. And Jesus is saying to these people and saying to us, He says, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be fake. Don't be putting on a mask. Don't be pretending to be something you're not. Because the hypocrites, they're the ones that love to pray publicly, on the street corners. They're the ones, and their goal is to be out, what he says here, where everybody can see them. They want to be where everybody can see them. The Greek word for can see them is phainos. And it has this idea of light. They want their light to shine. They want to be conspicuous. They want to be the ones that everybody says, wow, you're shiny. Like people see with my head. Dude, it's hard being bald and taking a picture outside. I don't know if I need to like carry some baby powder in my back pocket or something. Like, oh, you're going to take my picture? Because I'm not kidding. Look at my Facebook page. Like, my picture's like, shine, and then Sean. And that's exactly what these guys were doing. He says they want to pray for everyone to see, look how impressive I am. Look how spiritual I am. Are you amazed at my great spiritosity? Spiritualosity? I'm spiritual? He says that was the deal. They wanted to pray where their light would shine. Everyone would see how shiny and glorifying, how glorious they are, which is an interesting thing. Because Jesus says, look, that is the best that they're going to get. When someone looks at them and says, wow, they're pretty spiritual, that's all you're getting. That's it. He's saying, hypocrites, enjoy it. Because there's nothing more. Then when that person says, wow, you're so spiritual, soak it in because there's nothing more coming. That is all you're going to get. He says, when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you. Another version, translation says, go into your closet and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. This word secret, this word being, where is it? Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. It means the word we use a lot of times. It's kryptos, cryptology, the idea of decoding something, which may come into play this week in the ATU pack. I'm just saying. So, cryptology, secret, something that's hidden. He says, go ahead and do that in private, secretly. Now, I want you to hear me, if you would look at me for a second. God is not saying, Jesus is not saying, you are not allowed to pray where anyone can hear you. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, Kirk, you're going to hell because you prayed in front of everybody. Sorry, man. It's rough. Hope you like the dime now because that's all you get. That's not what Jesus is saying. Because as we know, if you've looked at Jesus, if you've looked at how he's taught, he is not interested in this. He is interested in this, in your heart. What is going on the inside, on the change from the inside out. He's interested in here. And so he's saying, if you're praying so that people will say how great you are, then you've got a heart problem. He says, if that's your issue, go somewhere in secret, in private. Because then you're not going to have to worry about the applause from people and how great you are. Because then you're focused on what God thinks about you. And he says, God's going to see you there. God sees everything. God knows everything. Your Father knows it all. So when you're praying in private, you don't have to worry like, is God going to hear me in here? He says, don't worry about that. God sees everything. But if your heart is saying, hey, I'm here to pray to God, if I'm communicating with my Father, then I'm good. But if I'm praying so that everyone can see how spiritual I am, then I've got an issue. So that's what he's saying. He says, go in your closet. If you have an issue with doing it up front, can I be straight with you guys? Sometimes, that sounds awfully going arrogant to begin with. Sometimes people come up to me and say, wow, that was a really good sermon, Sean. Wow, that was really good. I struggle with that. No, I mean, I need the encouragement. Please don't stop. but I also know that I could start going, yeah, I am, aren't I? You're pretty lucky to have me, you know. See, there was a sneeze to say, no way. Appropriately timed. But see, that's exactly it. Like, I don't want to walk around and say, look how great I am. I mean, I need encouragement. I am so insecure, you have no idea. But I'm aware of that. So I intentionally, and I know, and I'm not busting on any other church, any other place, but some pastors feel it's important to stand by the door as people go out. I can't do that. Because when I do that, you will all come by and say, good sermon, Pastor. Nice speaking, Sean. Way to say it. And all I'm going to do is be like, okay, pumping my head up. You know, the nice thing is I get into my car with my lovely wife, who's like, what? And it's healthy. I'm not saying that she doesn't love me. I'm saying she does that because she loves me. But I'm just saying what the situation that Jesus is talking about here is if you're trying to pray so everybody can see how spiritual and how amazing you are, if you're wondering, why didn't anybody ask me to pray up front? Then you have a heart problem. And Jesus is saying, if that's your issue, go somewhere where you're all alone. You don't have to worry about that. Get rid of that factor. I mean, it's sort of like what Jesus was saying, you know, if your eye caused you to sin, pluck it out. If you have a problem with this, go somewhere by yourself because God sees everything. But prayer is supposed to be a personal thing. It's between you and God. And I know there's a challenge when you pray in front of people. You know, like if Kirk just kind of went off on his own and be like, and thanks, Jesus, that I had this wonderful oatmeal for breakfast today. And thank you this afternoon. I get to go watch the game, pray that my fantasy team wins. And goes on to all this stuff. Like, it would be sort of like, okay, Kirk, I appreciate the personal, but we're all listening, buddy. So there's an odd dynamic there, and I'm not denying that. I know it's a challenge there, but the issue, Jesus, is what's your heart all about? Are you trying to pray so that people are going to say how great you are, or God? And let me tell you what, as much as it's nice to have your encouragement, I want Jesus to be proud of what I've said. And I know I apologized a couple weeks ago for the thing that I said about Deuteronomy. And a bunch of you were like, oh, it wasn't that big a deal. Like, I don't care what you think. I care what God thinks about what I said. And that's got to be the issue here. When we're coming to prayer, God expects us to pray. And he says, this is a personal thing. It's between you and me. It's not about what other people think about your prayer. It's not someone on a checklist. Oh, well, he did say thine. All right, we're good there. Oh, wow. He said, Lord. And then Lord again, Lord, Lord. And oh Lord, we pray, Lord, that Lord you, like, oh wow, he's really spiritual. He says, that's not what it's about. It's about your heart. Because prayer is a personal thing. He says, be in the crypt. Be secret. Be hidden. God sees it all. God knows your heart. And so when you're praying to him, make it real. Don't make it real yet. We'll talk about that in a second. Make it personal. It's just between you and God. It's not for everyone else to see. It's not for how impressive you are. This particular point, I titled it airplane mode. And if you have a phone, you know, and each week it's going to have some sort of catchy little wireless title, I think, or stupid wireless title, however you want to look at it. But airplane mode on a phone, when you turn on airplane mode, it drops all the other distractions and it's just your phone. And I think there's something to that when it comes to prayer. Get rid of all the other stuff. If you're doing it for all the other people to say how impressive you are, get rid of it. And this is something, and this is not really part of my notes, but I think we need to push that into our children. We need to teach our children that way. Because I know that my kids are like, I'm not going to pray. I don't know what to say. And we need to say, hey, it's not about what the rest of the family thinks you're saying. It's about what God thinks you're saying. Where's your heart in that? So it's got to be a personal thing. We're getting rid of all the distractions. The next thing about prayer. Prayer is expected. It is personal. And it's real. Jesus wants us to be real. Unfortunately, a lot of times when we come to pray, we feel like Greg.
At this spot in the point, we watched a video clip from the movie Meet the Parents, where Greg is asked to pray at the dinner table. He doesn't know what to say, so he strings together a bunch of prayer cliches and then ends it with amen. We will now return to the point in progress.
So like we come to prayer with this idea that we need to be super spiritual. And we need to have the right words to say. And we feel we have to have that right antenna to connect. We need to have the right words to say. But Jesus says it's just the opposite. That prayer is real. We need to be real when we pray. We need to be just real. And I mean real. Like straight up who we are. And this is what he says in verse 7, then he goes on, and Jesus says, when you pray, still that when theme, he hasn't given us an out yet, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. Jesus says, look, when you pray, you don't need to babble on and on. The word babble there is a Greek word. It's actually two words. It means stammer, like someone that has a speech impediment and they stammer as they speak. And then plus the word words. So it's like someone who stammers with their words. He says, you don't need to do that. You need to be babbling. You need to have meaningless repetition of your words. Because he says that's what the people of other religions did. Your translation might say the pagans did that, or the Gentiles. The issue is that people that weren't followers of the true God, they felt like, well, if they repeat it over and over and over and over, then God will hear their prayer and answer them. And Jesus says, that's not the case. You don't need to repeat it over and over and over. You don't need, I'm going to be offensive to one of my fellow graduates, you don't need the prayer of Jabez for God to answer you. Popular book. It's a great prayer in the Bible, but there's nothing that says you have to pray that over and over and over and then God will answer you. You don't need that quick Facebook like, click here and God will answer your prayer. Ignore and you're going to hell. Like, there, we have this idea that there's these secret words that if we say them, or if we say them over and over and over and over, then God's going to do what we want. If we repeat them, if we say, oh, sweet Jesus, oh, sweet Lord, Lord of hosts, then God's going to answer. If we call them, we thank thee for thy bounty. Whoa, getting English. God's going to answer. There's nothing like that. There's no idea that says we need to just repeat it over. We don't need to put it to music for God to hear us. Just because you sing Jesus, 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 it doesn't mean God's going to answer more. It's about the heart. And I know, and I'm going to be honest, I'm going to make fun of all of us probably next week or the week after that. Because when we pray, we kind of get caught in these repetitions and these patterns. And I already said one of them, Lord, oh Lord, we pray, Lord, or maybe Lord God, we pray, Lord God, that you, Lord God, would answer our prayer, Lord God. Because, Lord God, we love you, Lord God. I mean, and I've said this before. Imagine talking to someone like that. Hey, Bill, how you doing, Bill? Because, Bill, great day, Bill. I had a great time with you, Bill, this weekend, Bill. Because, Bill, oh, Bill, we really had a good time, Bill. Thank you, Bill, for all that we did, Bill. Because, Bill, it was a fun weekend, Bill. You know, I mean, like what? It's weird. We didn't do that. And so we get caught in these things. And I know that some of that's just kind of, we've been taught that way. And I'm not saying, oh, you're, you know, it's bad praying. But I think there is something to, hey, are we being real or are we just saying the things that sound kind of spiritual? Is Jesus a comma? Yes, Jesus. We pray, Jesus. Where normally we would just have a comma and a pause. We say those things. Or there's this idea that, again, you know, pray this prayer and then God will bless you. Pray it more and more, and God will bless you even more. That is not biblical, people. There is nothing to that. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't be babbling on and on. Don't just say the same thing over and over and over again. And he's not saying there's nothing wrong with asking God for things multiple times. Do you follow me? We're talking about the heart. That's the issue. If we think, well, because I said it that way, then God's going to be more impressed. There's, you know, and there's books that are written, and I hate to say it this way, but, you know, these are prayers that will make God do this. This is a prayer that will make your children follow the Lord. These are prayers that if you pray over them, they do this. And sometimes you can pray all those prayers, and God just says, no, I'm going to do something different. And he's allowed to because he's God. But we need to understand that prayer is us being real. And that's what Jesus says, don't babble on and on. He says, they think that their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. And sometimes we get caught up in that. And again, if that's you, I'm not here saying, oh, I hate you. What are you doing? Get out of our church. Because I'm in that category too. You know, we say things. We get caught up in the routine. But I'd love for us just to take a moment and rethink and just be real. Be real about prayer, about talking, about communication with God. And there's nothing about saying it the right way or saying it over and over that means God's going to answer any more than if you just went at it. Like, God, I don't know what to do. Help! Oh, but if you said, Dear Lord, I pray that thine would inclineth thine ear to mine request. It doesn't change anything. It's about here. It's about your heart. It's about the words that we say. There's nothing about these secret prayers. It's communication and relationship. It's communication in a relationship. You don't communicate by mindlessly repeating something. Say Kendra and I are out on a date. We're enjoying a little double milkshake. And she looks at me and I look at her and I'm like, Kendra, when I see your face, there's not a thing that I would change. Because you're amazing just the way you are. And if she said, well, okay, that's great. Those are song lyrics. How do you really feel? Well, Kendra. When I see your face, there's not a thing that I would change. Because, girl, you're amazing just the way you are. Kendra, when I see your face, there is not a thing that I would change. Because, girl, you're amazing just the way you are. And she would walk away saying, my husband loves me. Oh, he loves me so much. And the next day, how are you doing, honey? I love you. I love you, too. Because, girl, when I see your face, there is not a thing. I mean, you get it? Like, this idea that, oh, if we just repeat it over and over, it's going to change things. No, that is not relationship. That is not communication. Those are just lyrics from Bruno Mars. And I think the song is funny because it's always, like, quiet. And then he's like, when I see your face! Like, I just imagine this, like, Robin Hood scene. I don't know if you remember Robin Hood Men in Tights, where they start singing to each other and their hair is all blown back. And anyway, that's off the subject. But prayer, yeah, it's about talking to God. It's communication. It's not random babbling. It's not just things over and over because that's going to get God to answer it. Be real. Be real. Come to God that way. Come to God broken. You can do that. We can do that. It is okay to say, God, today sucks. Because God's not like, oh, what do you mean by those words? He knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows what's going on. He knows that we're struggling. Just be real about it. There's no reason to put a fake face. There's no reason to put a hypocrisy on. Hypocrisy. Be real with God. Because you're having a relationship. I mean, I did something rather insensitive. And I'm sorry, I keep picking on my wife here and she's in here. But I did something insensitive last night. And I could tell in her face. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, nothing. No, really, what's wrong? Nothing. No, I can tell that there's definitely nothing is wrong. There's definitely something wrong. And, you know, eventually I figured out what it was, and, you know, and I messed up. I apologized, I think. I will later if I didn't. But I was wrong. But here's the deal. Like, her words weren't matching how she was really feeling. Because it wasn't real. Nothing's wrong. No, there's very obviously something wrong. It's the same thing with prayer. It's okay if our words match what's going on in our heart. God, this is really hard right now. God, I'm excited that this happened. Thank you so much. Jesus, I love sex. You can thank him for that. It's his thing. You know, I'm saying, but like, whoa, you just prayed about sex? Honestly, we read a book when we were doing our premarital counseling. It said, have you taken time to actually pray that God would help you have better sex lives? And that's a whole other subject. That's in January. Or that was in February. You can listen to that online. But my point is, those are things. You can't pray about that. Yes, you can, because it's part of who we are. It's being real. And God wants a communication. God wants that relationship, and it needs to be real. Don't just make up stuff. Don't try to sound spiritual. Just be real. And we can celebrate. We can cry. We can be angry. God, why is this happening? Just be real. That's what Jesus says. He says, Don't be babbling on and on and on. Don't think because you say it over and over again. Don't think because you say it to music or you say it slowly that Jesus is going to answer you, that God's going to respond and change everything. He says, it's just communication. So be real. And so, you know, at the beginning we said God is expecting us. We said right there, it's expected that we pray. And some people are like, oh, I can't do that. We can all be ourselves. We can all be real. And we'll get to that in a second. So it's expected, it's personal, it's real. And here's the last thing. This is where it gets really crazy. Prayer is love. Prayer is love. And originally I had prayer is weird. Because this is weird. Because this is really, so Jesus just said, when you pray, when you pray, when you pray, this is how you do it. Make sure it's personal. This is how you do it. Make sure it's real. This is, you need to be praying. You need to pray to me. You need to pray. And then this is what he says. Jesus, what is up with you? He says, do this because your Father knows exactly what you need before you ask him. What? So wait, Jesus just told everybody, you need to come to me, pray, be real, be honest, communicate with me, do it, do it, do it. Oh, but by the way, I know everything before you ask me anyway. What's going on here? Here's the deal. God doesn't need us to pray. God wants us to pray. Jesus knows what's going on in our hearts. God's in control of the whole world. And we talked about that. If, you know, God wanted Scott to do a jig, he could do a jig. And I'm still waiting for God to do that. I'll be praying. Maybe I'll repeat some prayers more fervently and put it to music. Maybe God will do that. But the deal is that God knows what's going on in our lives. God can do anything. He can change anything, any instant. He's in control. And that's okay because he's God and we're not. So why does God ask us to pray? Why did Jesus say it's expected of us? Because it's a relationship. Because we've got a God who loves us. He says, and he doesn't use the word because you're God, because you're Lord, because your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. And I know some of you, you know, maybe not have the best relationship with your Father. Maybe don't even know your Father. But this is a true, perfect, loving Father. He says, I know what you need. Let's just talk about it. And I have watched, and we'll talk more about this in the next couple of weeks, but, you know, God does something crazy through prayer, and I don't get it. I don't understand how it works. He already knows what's going on. But somehow in there, I've watched when I pray, it doesn't change God's mind. It doesn't change God's will. Oh, suddenly, oh, you prayed that, Sean? Cool, I'll go with you because you're cool. I don't think that's how it works. I watch prayer change me because I have a God that loves me. I have a Father that loves me. He knows what I need. He just wants to talk to me. He says, I want you to talk to me. I want you to communicate. I love you. I said, this guy Jesus that's sharing this right now and a couple more days, a couple more weeks, he's going to die on a cross because we love you, because he loves you, because I love you, Trinity. He knows. He wants a relationship with us. I heard one of the speakers this weekend at the event we went to, Catalyst, said, you know, we are not needed. God doesn't need us, but we are wanted. You are not needed, but you are wanted. And that's the issue, that prayer is us saying, and we'll talk more about this over the next few weeks, so like I said, I might raise some questions, but I want you to get this, that Jesus is saying, look, you're expected to pray, and God already knows it all. Because he just wants to communicate with the people that he loves. My mom loves me. And if I go a few weeks without talking to her, she wonders what's up. Why didn't you call? Is everything okay? Are you mad at me? And it's not because I had to call her and give her the list of things that I had to do. It's not because she wanted to know exactly what was happening next week in my schedule. It was because she's my mom and we have a relationship and she wants to just simply communicate with me. And sometimes we talk about church stuff and what's going on in our lives. Other times we talk about football. I mean, like, it's not necessarily super deep. But it's that communication, it's that relationship. And that's what Jesus is saying. It's love because I love you, I created you, I am your perfect heavenly Father. I already know what you need. It's not like we're hiding anything from him. That's why we can be real about it. He says, I just want to talk with you. I just want to communicate with you. I want to have that relationship. I don't want the hollow, empty words. I want you. Jesus wants you. That's what he's asking. So prayer is expected, personal, real, and love. That's what it is. That's what Jesus is saying. And in the next few weeks, we're going to talk about specifically the Lord's Prayer. But he says, look, this is what I want from you. I created you. I died for you. I love you. I love everything about you. I love that you screwed up yesterday when you were talking with your wife. I love that you struggle with sin. I love you despite the fact that you struggle with sin. Let's put it that way. I love you no matter where you grew up, no matter your situation. I love you, I love you, I love you. I just want to talk to you. Just talk to me. Because prayer is communication with God. That's what it is. When we think, and again, if you grew up in church, we might have one perspective on what prayer is. If you grew up outside of the church, you might even have a crazier, challenging perspective. But I just want you to get that this is it. It's communication with God. You're just talking with a God who loves you, the Father who loves you, the God that created you, the God that died for you. So here are just a couple things to kind of tie it together, what you can do. The first thing is pray now. Pray now. I don't mean now. I mean, you could. What God has to say to you is far more important than what I do. But the point is, don't wait till you're cleaned up. You don't need to wait until everything's perfect again. You don't need to wait until you've felt bad enough about your sin that you can pray. You don't need to wait until you've been found out. You don't need to wait until the relationship is healed. You don't need to wait until the job is what you wanted. Yeah, like we don't need to wait. You don't need to wait till, you know, you sound more spiritual or till you know more Bible. Pray now. You're just talking with your dad who loves you. He loves you. He's not waiting for you to change. He says, just talk with me. Let me change you from the inside out. But pray now. Don't wait. Don't wait for that moment. Well, things aren't going well right now, so I'll pray in a couple days when I feel more like it, when I feel more spiritual. And I think that's one of the things that we do a lot. There's this idea that, I don't know, we've offended God so much He doesn't want to hear from us now. Because people are like that. Humans are like that. Well, don't talk to me right now. But God isn't like that. Because I already know what you did. I knew what you did a long time ago. That's why my son died for you. So pray now. Don't wait. Don't wait for that moment. He just wants to talk to you. If you're in a situation, and we'll see in a second here, like don't feel that the mood has to be right. The music has to be playing in the background. You have to be on your knees. There's a lot of ways that you can do this. Just do it. Don't wait for the right situation. Second thing I want you to understand is that we should pray often. Paul writes in a letter to the church in Thessalonica. He says, pray continually. Another translation says, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. And we'll have a video in a couple of weeks where they kind of make fun of that. But the point isn't that you're constantly praying. Like, I can't drive, I can't eat because I'm praying. Just make it prayer part of who you are. Make it part of your life. Make it what you do. You don't need to wait until you're in church. Oh, I'll wait to pray. Well, in Prime Group, I know at the end we'll close in prayer, so I'll wait till then. Pray often. It's not a matter of where you are. It's not about, you can pray while you're driving. Please keep your eyes open. But do it. It's really cool. In Nehemiah, and we talked about Nehemiah back during the Daniel series a little bit, but he was in exile with his people, and the walls in Jerusalem were falling apart. And he was really disheartened. He was saddened by the fact that his city that he grew up in was falling apart. And he says, you know, basically he wanted to go back and fix it. He worked for the king. He was the cupbearer to the king. And he happened to find himself in with the king, as he often is. And the king just kind of turns to him. This is my paraphrase. But the king essentially turns to him and says, Nehemiah, what's up? Is there something I can do for you? And it kind of blew Nehemiah out of the water. Like, what? I'm just some lowly servant. Why are you interested in me? And it says in that verse there that Nehemiah, while he's standing in the king, and the king is saying, what do you want, Nehemiah? That Nehemiah prayed to heaven and then answered the king. Like, it was this instant, like, oh, crap, God, help me here. This is a great opportunity. Please make it work. Hey, so king, I mean, and that's the deal. Like, it was a continual thing. And you could, I love that prayer. It's like that quick, he didn't say, Lord, you know, let me go off and fast and kneel and pray that thine Lord would hearken his ear to mineth requesteth. He just was right there. He's in a situation. He says, I need to pray about this right now. So he did. And that's what I think, that's this idea of praying continually, praying without ceasing. If there's something that's going on, I mean, maybe you've got the...
John, the boss wants to see you. Can you come to the boss's office?
It's okay to pray right then. Lord, I don't know what's coming. Help me through this. It's okay to do that. It's okay to pray when the phone call rings and you see it's the doctor's office. It's okay to pray that, God, right now my day has been awful and I have not been following you. Can you just make me more like Jesus? Being real, praying, right there, not waiting for prayer meeting on Wednesday night, which we don't have. Just pray. Pray continually. You can pray in that moment. And the last thing about it is pray you. Pray you. Be you. Be who you are when you pray. Don't try to be me when you pray. Don't try to be that guy you saw on TV when you pray. Don't try to be your spouse. Just be you. Don't try to sound all formal and high and lofty. You don't have to try to be someone else. Just be you. Be the you that God created you, that God created. He knows you. He made you. He knows everything about you. So when you come to Him, you don't need to pretend that you're somebody else. You don't need to be your great-grandma. My grandmother, I loved hearing her pray. She did sound very English and spiritual, but it was from her heart. And I don't need to be her. I need to be me, because God didn't create me as Nana. I'd be an ugly Nana. God created me as Sean. God created you as who you are. And so when you come to Him, to this God that created you, that loves you and says, I just want to talk with you. Just be you. You don't need to pretend to be someone more spiritual. You don't need to pretend to be someone more cleaned up or more perfect. Again, God knows. And I don't care how good you look right now on the outside, how perfect your life looks, how, ooh, good, solid Christian you are. What's going on in here is what God knows. He knows the outside too, but He really knows this. So you don't need to pretend. You don't need to be that hypocrisy. You don't need to be putting on that mask. Just be you. Because Jesus expects us to pray. He wants us to pray to Him. Your Father in heaven just says, talk to me. I'm here. I'm accepting of you. And it could be at any time, any day, any place, any situation. God says, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm right here. Now is the time. This is the place. Wherever that may be, just come to God in prayer, because that's all it is. It's just communication with God. It's just talking to your Father that loves you. And it's talking to a God that, I wouldn't say doesn't care about what you've done or where you've been. He does care about what you've done and where you've been. And that's why Jesus died. But He loves you. Would you pray with me right now? God, as we come to You, amen. Why don't you take a moment right now and pray? You don't need me to pray. You pray. And then I'll close this up. Father, as we come to You as the God that loves us, some of us are coming to You as ones that we pray. We pray regularly, but perhaps we get caught up in trying to sound extra spiritual, trying to think of the right words to say to impress You. But You know our heart. You know everything. You see what's done in secret. So I pray that this would be a time for us to just be real. And some of us, we haven't prayed in a long time. Sometimes maybe we don't think we can. How can we come to You after what we've done? the way we've acted. But you're still there with your arms open, waiting for us. Hey, come back. I'm here. So I pray for those in this room that are in that situation, that we would just come back to you and say, God, I'm here. I'm broken. I'm messed up. And I just thank you for loving me. And some of us are just not being real with you. We're not communicating with you. We don't think we're ready. We don't think we have the time or the space or whatever. Help us just to make prayer a part of who we are. Simply talking with the God that loves us, with the Father that loves us. We thank you that you love us that much, that we can call you Dad, and that you care about us. Help us to continue that communication as we grow our relationship with you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, that died on the cross for us, we pray. Amen.